1, chapter 15, canto 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tabhyang mishatsva nimeshe shanishiddhamana. Swahartamahya pihare pratihara pabhyam. Uchu surittama didrikshita bhanga ishat.
Uchu surittama didrikshita bhanga ishat.
Kamanujena sahasata upaplutaksha.
Kamanujena sahasata upaplutaksha.
When the Kumaras, although by far the fittest persons, were thus forbidden entrance by the two chief doorkeepers of Sri Hari, while other divinities looked on, their eyes suddenly turned red because of anger due to their great eagerness to see their most beloved master, Sri Hari, the personality of Godhead. Translation. When now report by Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedic system, a sannyasi, a person in the renounced order of life, is dressed in saffron-colored garments. This saffron dress is practically a passport for the mendicant and sannyasi to go anywhere. The sannyasi's duty is to enlighten people in Krishna consciousness. Those in the renounced order of life have no other business but preaching the glories and supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Vedic sociological conception is that a sannyasi should not be restricted. He is allowed to go anywhere and everywhere he wants, and he is not refused any gift he might demand from a householder. The four Kumaras came to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana. The word Suhittama, best of all friends, is important. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, he is the best friend of all living entities, Suhidam Sarvabhutanam. No one can be a greater well-wisher friend to any living entity than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is so kindly disposed towards everyone that in spite of our completely forgetting our relationship with the Supreme Lord, he comes himself. Sometimes personally as Lord Krishna appeared on this earth, and sometimes as his devotee, as did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And sometimes he sends his bona fide devotees to reclaim all the fallen souls. Therefore he is the greatest well-wishing friend of everyone, and the Kumaras wanted to see him. The doorkeepers should have known that the four sages had no other business, and therefore to restrict them from entering the palace was not apt. In this verse it is figuratively said that the younger brother of desire suddenly appeared in person when the sages were forbidden to see their most beloved spiritual personality of Godhead. The younger brother of desire is anger. If one's desire is not fulfilled, the younger brother anger follows. Here we can mark that even great saintly persons like the Kumaras were also angry, but they were not angry for their personal interests. They were angry because they were forbidden to enter the palace to see the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the theory that in the perfectional states one should not have anger is not supported in this verse. Anger will continue even in a liberated stage. Though these four mendicant brothers, the Kumaras, were considered liberated persons, but still they were angry because they were restricted in their service to the Lord. The difference between the anger of an ordinary person and that of a liberated person is that an ordinary person becomes angry because his sense desires are not being fulfilled. Whereas a liberated person like the Kumaras becomes angry when restricted in a discharge of duties for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous verse, it has been clearly mentioned that the Kumaras were liberated persons. Vididatma tattva means one who understands the truth of self-realization. One who does not understand the truth of self-realization is called ignorant. But one who understands the self, the super-self, their interrelation, and the activities in self-realization is called vidittatma tattva. Although the Kumaras were already liberated persons, they nevertheless became angry. This point is very important. Becoming liberated does not necessitate losing one's sensual activities. Sense activities continue even in the liberated stage. The difference is, however, the sense activities in liberation are accepted only in connection with Krishna consciousness, whereas sense activities in the conditioned stage are enacted for personal sense gratification. Thus end the purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text 31. Tabhyanga mishatswani me Tabhyanga mishatswani me seshu nishidhyamana Swarhattamahya pihare pratihara pabhyam Uchu surhitta madidrikshita banga ishat Kamanujena sahasa ta upu plutaksha. Srila Prabhupada has so kindly revealed to us all these secrets about the spiritual world, real culture, based upon returning back to our original relationship with Krishna, the duties of a devotee, of a human being, everything He has so kindly revealed. Now one word here, Suhittama, best of all friends. Of course, Krishna Himself is the best of all friends to the living entities. And because Krishna is the best of all friends, He sends His devotees like Srila Prabhupada, who are simply oceans of mercy. Srila Prabhupada had come with simply the interest to carry out the desire of His spiritual master, whose desire was to carry out the order of His spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada's desire was simply to see that the miserable living entities, those who are suffering in this material entanglement, are given their natural, blissful, pure life of Krishna consciousness. Everyone in this material world is strictly under the control of this material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karamana sarvasa ahankara vibhudatma kortahamiti manyate. They all think they are the doers, when in fact, being carried away by desire and lust, they are forced to act according to the dictation of their lower nature. So the four Kumaras, they were already liberated. That means that they were transcendental to material desire and to material anger. So of course the question comes, and how is it that they became angry? The impersonalist philosophers, they cannot understand the difference between material and spiritual quality. They think because this material world has quality, therefore the spiritual reality must be qualityless. That is their mistake. They are simply using their own material intelligence to enter into spiritual truth. This material world has quality, therefore spiritual world must have no quality. This is their shortcut intelligence. But this is not the actual fact. This material world has quality, which is relative and temporary, because the spiritual world has permanent, eternal quality. So, the qualities of these four Kumaras, these four youthful devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are also transcendental. They wanted to see Krishna. So they were going to Krishna's abode. They were very eager to see Krishna. This desire to see Krishna is not material. but it is a pure spiritual desire that we should understand. People want to know how to be Krishna conscious. But it is not very difficult. One simply has to desire to see Krishna, desire to relish the nectar of Krishna. This desire is a most powerful and subtle thing. Because of desire, people are becoming presidents of the United States. Because of desire, people are going to jail. Because of desire, people are getting married. And because of desire, people are becoming divorced. Because of desire, everything that is happening in this world with Krishna's sanction. But because everyone is desiring imperfectly, therefore no one is satisfied. And the more that this uncontrolled, material, undirected desire increases, the more that chaos is the result. So here we can see our four saintly persons, and their desire, being pure, has led them right to the kingdom of God. Similarly, the passport to get out of this material world is this pure desire. But that pure desire has to be cultivated. These four Kumaras, they had no other desire except to see the Lord. They had no material desires. So when they were restricted, they also became angry. But that is not ordinary anger. Just like here we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he saw Nityananda was struck by Jagai Madhai, and he heard about it, he became angry. Why they are beating on my devotee? They have offended a Vaishnava. And he came, Chakra, Chakra, Sudarshana, and more brilliant than millions of suns. The Sudarshana Chakra came down from the spiritual sky, illuminating everything at all sides, in all 10 directions, and came down and was ready to immediately chop those two offensive brothers in two. Only by the causeless mercy of Nityananda were they spared. Even this mood of anger is there in the personality of Godhead. He becomes angry when his pure devotee, who is simply dedicated to preaching this message and delivering the fallen souls from their misery, is tortured, is harassed, is in so many ways offended and mistreated. Then he becomes angry. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that Vaishnav aparad mata hati upareva chindi tar sukhi jaya patha hati mata upareva chindi tar sukhi jaya patha. That the mad elephant offense is to offend a Vaishnava. Just like an elephant goes into the garden and uproots all of the branches, and those branches being uprooted, their leaves dry. Similarly, by offending Vaishnavas, great devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, Vishnu, this destroys one's spiritual progress. So that quality of anger is also there in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he was the most merciful, by Nityananda's mercy, he requested, please save these two brothers. So many people are also unqualified like them. If we go to kill everyone, then there will be no one left. Please have your mercy upon them. So, qualities are spiritual when they do not have connection with material sense gratification. This is the secret of working. The Gita describes that one should work without result. Work without attachments to the fruits. So that is only possible when one works to please Krishna. In India, there are the people who believe that the secret of working is you work and you get your money and you enjoy. And when you're materially enjoying, you think that I'm not enjoying this. I'm eating this ice cream, but I don't enjoy it. I'm enjoying this intoxication. I'm taking this intoxication, but I'm really unattached to it. I'm having this unlimited sex life, but it's actually, I'm very much detached from it. I'm actually like this. There's a idea, and Prabhupada wrote a play called The Chicken Emission. And this play was a spoof on various religious societies, missions, and concepts. So at one point, you see, a friend was approaching his other friend and saying how he had to spend so many hundreds of thousands of dollars and equivalent currency to get to fight some court case. So he didn't have any money left to marry off his daughter because in India they needed dowry. So the person asked him, what are you going to do? He said, well, I think I'm going to take sannyas in the chicken mission. He said, well, if you do that, then you're going to have to give up so many things. He says, no, you don't have to give up anything. He said, well, of course I know you don't have to give up eating meat, fish, eggs. You can still take intoxication, but at least you have to give up your wife. It means sannyasi, means give up your wife. So he said, no, of course, I just follow the system of renunciation is given in the Gita. Even though I enjoy, I just think that I'm not enjoying. So, finished. No enjoying. Transcendental. While enjoying, I just think I'm not enjoying. Finished. This is the philosophy of the Gita. So Prabhupada, he presented like this. Very nice little play. We show it sometimes, because it's very direct to some missions that are there in India that people sometimes take offense, so we have to be careful, but because, of course, that person, he said, well, I'm not worried about taking sannyas there because a friend of mine took sannyas in that mission and he used to visit the wife every weekend. And I have a program that I will go begging for that mission. And whatever I collect, you see, I will give 50% to the mission and 50% I keep. 50-50. Sannyas? So, in this way, Prabhupada made so many instructions using this medium of drama, humor. Eventually, that person was convinced to not join the mission because he was a little doubtful. The person challenged him that, well, are you sure you know what you're talking about? He said, well, I heard it from so many people at the tea stall and in the public parks that this was the thing. Well, are you sure? Well, all right, I'm not positive that if I join the chicken mission, I will be able to still be with my wife after taking sannyas. So then he said, I have another program. You can join the Bhojanananda Akra. Bhojanananda, Bhojan means eating, and Ananda means pleasure. To take pleasure in eating. Akra means institution, or the institution of pleasure and sense gratification. The Bhojanananda Akra. You see, you can join there. He said, there's a team. There's one, you see, Karmanya Virata one renowned person who is a, he wears white, and he has his private business that he's operating from the Accra. There's the other person who's the renounced Grihastha. He works and takes a percentage for the of the collection from the deity for his family. And then there's the other, there's one, Bhojanananda Swadhu. Swadhu, not sadhu, swadhu. Swad means taste. For Bhojanananda I describe. So the Bhojanananda Swadhu, one who enjoys the taste of eating. He said, how did he get a name like that? So well, he was going around in North Calcutta begging, and he would always ask the Mawaris, feed a sadhu! Feed a sadhu! And so the Bengalis were a little bit tight, but he would always find a Mawari. So one Mawari sat him down into a sweet shop and tell, eat as many sandesh, rasgulas, and samosas as you can eat. And he just started stuffing himself. And so in that name, he got the, that time he was given the title, Bhojanananda Swadhu, for his valor. This is the play. This is written by Prabhupada. I can't, some of the deep, I mean, every word is a deep spoof, you know. So then the person, you're there, you can be, you can still be a Grihastha, and at the same time, you can be part of this mission, and you can, without any restriction, you can go on. So in this way, he said, well, that sounds like a better mission to join. He was trying to pick the best place. But of course, because all these so-called spiritual missions, if they don't have the actual objective of reaching Krishna, of spiritual realization, what is the purpose? People look, what is good for my sense gratification? What is good for my sense? I can't join this mission because I can't join this institution, I can't join this society, because it doesn't fit with my idea of sense gratification. But there's a very important word that was used here in describing these kumaras. Viditatma tattva. Vidito atma. Living entities who know tattva, the truth. What is the truth? That has, if that's not the desire of the person, then everything else is just a farce. All the outward shows have no meaning unless one actually wants to reach the truth. Unless one actually wants to reach the perfection. So, the Kumaras, of course, they were such real seekers of the truth. Therefore, they shouldn't have been stopped. But other people who are such Bhojanananda Swadhus and chicken missions, they will be stopped at the gate of Vaikuntha. They won't even get close, you see. Or to speak past the 61st gates. They won't get close. So, because their desires will lead them elsewhere. Krishna will satisfy their desire. They don't have to become dressed as a saintly person in order to satisfy their desires materially. Those desires, Krishna will satisfy. There are 84,000 species of life in which they can satisfy their desire. But if one wants to get out of that repetition of birth and death, to actually reestablish the original relationship with Krishna, which is the goal of life, which is the only secret for actually becoming satisfied, then one has to be dedicated to truth, to doing whatever will be beneficial to achieving the truth, and to giving up whatever is hypocritical, whatever is detrimental. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is actually Krishna himself. That means he is the origin of all the Vaishnava Sampradayas. These four Kumaras, they were originally Brahmanandis, or impersonally realized. Liberated. They had seen the light, the Brahma Jyoti coming from Krishna. They had not yet seen Narayana. Narayana himself, he came to see the Kumaras at his gate of his kingdom. And they bow down at his lotus feet. And although they were in that Brahman realization, when they smell the tulasi offered at his lotus feet, then their whole existence became filled with ecstatic symptoms. And at that time, they could understand that the Lord, transcendental position, was so much higher than their own realization. So immediately they were converted.
Tasya ravinda nayanasya padaravinda kinjalaka misra tulasi makaranda bayu antargata svivarena chakarate shang sankshobhamakshara jusham apichitta tanavo.
When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulasi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of God had entered the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change both in body and in mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Because of the fragrance of his lotus feet carried by the air and mixed with the aroma of tulasi, their minds changed. Instead of becoming one with the Supreme Lord, they thought it wise to be devotees. Becoming a servitor of the lotus feet of the Lord is better than becoming one with the Lord. In other words, the impersonalist who feels transcendental pleasure and striving to become one with the Lord is defeated when he sees the beautiful transcendental features of the Lord. So when these four Kumaras, then they went to Navadvip Dham after this episode, and they began worshipping the Lord, you see, for a long time in a beautiful garden of bale trees called Belpukur today, and known as Velva Puskar. The same as the Belva bone in Vrindavana, not different. And one saintly devotee called Nimbaditya, he was worshipping Lord Shiva, and he requested Lord Shiva for how he could find a spiritual master. He worshipped Lord Shiva as a devotee. He was a Vaishnava, Nimbaditya. Lord Shiva told him, you go to Navadvip, there in the forest of Elva Bon, you will find the four Kumaras meditating. They will give you their mercy. So there he went, and there in the forest, he saw the four brothers engaged in meditation on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he began to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the four Kumaras, hearing this holy name of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, they came out of their meditation. And there they saw this beautiful Vaishnava, Nimbaditya, who immediately offered his obeisances. And they, very simply, they asked who he was. Said he was Nimbaditya. He had come. He wanted to have the mercy of serving the Lord. And the four Kumaras said, yes, we were once impersonalist philosophers, but we have been converted now to devotional service. We want to initiate you. We want to initiate you because we want to have our own Vaishnav Sampradaya to spread the teachings of Vaishnav philosophy. Already, Lakshmi Devi has her Sampradaya
with Ramanuja, Lord Brahma has his Sampradaya with Madhva Acharya, and Lord Shiva has his Sampradaya with Vishnu Swami. So now we also want to have one Sampradaya. So you take bath in the Ganges and come back, we will initiate you. So he went and took a bath in the Ganges at Navadvip, came back, and he was initiated as Nimbarka Acharya. There he worshipped, he was given the Radha Krishna mantra by the four Kumaras. Worshipping there, Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in Navadvip Dham. And he wanted to simply serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, you are doing what is dearmost to me. That is to spread the message of Radha Krishna worship. They are my worshipable objects, my worshipable deities. So you should go now and preach this Radha Krishna worship. And in the future, all the Vaishnava Sampradayas, they will all unite. Because I will come and I'll be preaching the philosophy which will unite all the four Vaishnava Sampradayas. Taking two qualities from each of the Sampradayas, I will make the perfect philosophy. So now go and preach Radha Krishna worship. And later again we shall be rejoined. But do not tell anyone now about my coming, because this will disturb the secretiveness of my coming as a devotee. So like this, these four Kumaras, they also have a Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Nimbarka Goswami Sampradaya, and they worship Radha Krishna. So although they were impersonalists, they became Radha Krishna worshippers. This was there. Because of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now this worship of Radha Krishna is spread also all over the world. So in order to understand Radha Krishna, in order to understand, one has to worship Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, he is very merciful. The Kumaras, they became angry. They cursed these Jayavijaya to take birth in the material world. Jagai Madai, they hit Nityananda, causing blood to come. But just on the appeal of Lord Nityananda, who is the ocean of mercy personified, they were given also initiation. They were forgiven. But the wonderful thing is that after they were initiated, they did not break their oath. When they were when they realized that it was now or never, they begged, please forgive us. Please give us your mercy. They were forced practically in one sense. They were going to have their heads chopped off by the Sudarshan Chakra. But they knew that once one takes an oath, whether under duress, whether under whatever circumstances, an oath is an oath. They were determined to maintain that oath at all costs. So they took their initiation, and never once did they break the regular principles that they accepted. Daily they were chanting Hare Krishna, Jagai Madai, I mean Madhav Das, Brahmachari, and his brother. They would dance in Kirtan down to the Ganges in ecstasy, take their bath, come back, offer their rice and prasadam, boga, to the Lord, and take the prasads. And people would come and donate rice, vegetables from thousands of miles to see how these two violent brothers, who had before been rapists, murderers, black marketeers, had become pure Vaishnavas, devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So to take different types of initiation and take oaths before the deity, before the fire, a very serious matter. You see. So of course, to encourage people who have not yet that determination to take such oaths, we are encouraging people in India that everyone should chant Hare Krishna. Just like here it mentions, or it mentioned in the purport that Agni Dev read this morning, that Lord Chaitanya, when he met the Brahmin, the Kurma Brahmana in southern India, and that Brahmana said, "I want to go with you, Lord Chaitanya. I want to leave my family. I want to leave my home." Lord Chaitanya said, "No, you have to stay in home and worship from there and make all your friends and your village people Krishna conscious. It is not necessary just to give up your family, to give up your house." In Latin America, this program has been started called Amigo de Krishna, Friends of Krishna, with 800 to 1,000 members in each country already in just 8 months. When someone gets Krishna consciousness, they also are grateful. In Lima, Peru, which is almost, Chile is a little advanced like a European country, but Lima and Peru is like India almost, economically. So someone came and dropped off one slide projector with automatic control, Friend of Krishna. That was a very big donation for them, $300-$400. Of course, in Chile, one lady has donated $70,000 worth of land to the temple after being a friend of Krishna. So someone may have something to give or someone may not. Our goal is to give people Krishna consciousness. So those who are not determined enough, this lady was not determined enough to become a full-time devotee. She was an 60-year-old follower of some other mission for her whole life, saw Krishna consciousness, saw this is doing the most benefit for the public. I want to help. She was chanting 2-3 rounds a day, gradually learning how to be a vegetarian. She was a friend of Krishna, amigo de Krishna. She was amiga de Krishna. And in this way, we encourage everyone to be connected. Someone who is not strictly following, they can be a league of devotee. That means vegetarian, chanting 4 rounds, having no strong intoxication, and no extramarital sex, the 2.5 regulative principles. And chant at least 4 rounds a day. Sometimes devotees who leave the strict principles, they come down a stage. You see. But there's already a status for them. But that is unfortunate. So we always try to encourage people. That system is one of positive alternatives. We simply always offering the next stage, always the positive alternative. Because there are many people that are too much entangled to just immediately come forward. In India, we had the same experience. We were distributing books and people would read the book, "Come forward, I want to take part in your movement. What can I do?" And the distributor would tell them, "Move into our temple." So I have 8 children. I have worked for 20 years in the railway. I have 8 more years to go before I get my pension. And I have 20 cows and 10 acres of land and a house. And I live 200 miles from the temple. And it's not possible for me to come right now. What else can I do? Buy another book? Okay, give me another book. What else can I do? See you later. Hi, Walt. All right, who's next? Here, take a book. And that was it. And these people would write letters and be crying that I want to be part of your movement. What can I do? What can I do? And I asked Srila Prabhupada, and he said, "You should engage them. You should train them up and have them practice in their village. Let them come for a few days to our temple, see how we do, and then you have them go back. And they should do it the same thing in their village, and they should practice." And practically there are many people who are not able
to 100% follow, but at least if they start to follow, then after some lifetimes they may be able to 100% follow. We guarantee anyone who follows completely, dedicates himself to this preaching movement, he'll go back to Godhead in this lifetime. We don't make that guarantee if someone doesn't take that dedication. But at least they should start somewhere. That we encourage everyone. The difference is there's Bhojanananda, these other groups, they tell everyone, it's like, oh, well, you do whatever you do, you're going to reach perfection. No, we don't cheat people like that. Whatever you do, you don't get the same result. But you should at least start to chant Hare Krishna. You should start to perfect yourself spiritually. That encouragement we want to give to everyone. Anyone who reads our books, they want to know what else to do. Oh, you should chant Hare Krishna. We will help you, we will teach you. You should start to offer prasadam in your home. And if they're ripe to become devotees, to fully move and help our preaching movement, to make other devotees, then of course that's wonderful. At least they should practice in their house. What is the difficulty? There's no difficulty. We need so many people that can help this movement in different ways, and that will purify them. By helping a preaching movement, that will purify them of their offenses. So we're very anxious to see the people. Here's a very nice beach. People are mellow. There's no reason why everyone in this beach can't chant Hare Krishna. It may be difficult to get everyone to move in our temple, and it'll become a financial burden if they come too quickly. Of course, that's not a problem. But at least everyone should chant Hare Krishna. Or those who are intelligent and sincere. So, the four Kumaras, they, of course, went back to the spiritual sky, and they were so kind, again, come back here to give us that mercy. So some living entities are liberated and some are conditioned. So those who are conditioned living entities, they should try to get liberated. That is the goal. And those who are liberated and still here, those who have realized what is the truth, they should take the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and give it to everyone without prejudice. That is the mood of Lord Nityananda. Actually, Lord Nityananda, he's a very unusual, extraordinary, transcendental personality. Always with ankle bells on his ankles, dancing. Always a blissful character, dancing and singing. And simply by his glance, people would be transformed into ecstatic symptoms. Let's see. So we try to get even one drop of mercy, one speck of dust from Lord Nityananda's lotus feet, because by his mercy glance, one is immersed in transcendental ecstatic love for Krishna. By Lord Nityananda's mercy, one gets the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, Srila Prabhupada is a representative of Lord Nityananda. So he freely gave out that mercy. So simply, we are, everyone in this movement, they're simply the representatives and servants and assistants for Lord Nityananda and his representatives. To give out the mercy. Wholesale, as much as we can market, as much as we can give out. That is our program. To flood everyone. But to not distort the truth. Viditātma tattva. To make people knowers of what is the actual truth. They can then choose how much of the truth they want to embrace. But someone who rejects any contact with Krishna, That person is most unfortunate because that person's fortune is undetermined. Or rather is determined that he is going to remain rotting in this material world. For literally millions of births, unlimited births. Because this opportunity does not come very often. Once in a day of Brahma, once in billions of years, by our calculation. So everyone should take this opportunity because simply by chanting the names of Nitai Gaur of the Panchatattva, by following their instructions of chanting Hare Krishna, one is guaranteed very quickly the highest realization of pure Krishna prema. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadharo Sri Vasudi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.